Folks, the Bible exhorts us in numerous places to do an examination of our own spiritual lives. One of those places is found in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? A self-examination. Question. Is a self-examination difficult? Absolutely. It's very hard for us to be just gut honest when it comes to a self-examination. We like to look at ourselves and think that we are okay. We like to look at ourselves and think that we are well-pleasing to God. We like to look at ourselves and think we are the model Christian. And it's difficult sometimes to look at ourselves and see the errors, see the faults, see the problems, see the sins, see the difficulties. We want to rationalize and we want to justify and we want to make all kinds of excuses and blame others as to why there are any shortcomings if there are in fact any shortcomings as far as we believe. When I stop and I take a look at my spiritual life, one of the things that I find is this: I stand in deep need of many, many things. I've been thinking about this particular lesson, and not just this lesson, but a series of lessons. Because when I look at my life, it's not just one thing that I stand in need of, it is many things. And I thought this would be a wonderful series of lessons to talk about. I'm not going to preach it just week after week after week, but from time to time, I am going to bring lessons entitled, I Need and Fill in the Blank. And this morning's is the first. I need strength. Folks, there's so many times in my life when I'm weak, when I'm frail, and I know that I need strength if I'm going to continue and if I'm ever going to be victorious in living the Christian life. And so for the next few minutes, let's talk about I need strength. The first point that I want to note is that the Bible exhorts us to be strong individuals. We turn over to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And Paul is talking to the church there and he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. And then he says, be strong. The Apostle Paul understood that if you and I are going to live victoriously, if we are going to live faithful lives, that we're going to have to be very strong individuals. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6:10, said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When Jesus addressed one of the churches by the name of Sardis in the Revelation, He told them this, watch ye. Now watch this. Strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before me. Here he's addressing an entire congregation. And he tells that church, you must be strong. You've got to strengthen the things that remain. Because if not, they will die. So there's the exhortations over and over again. You can go into the Old Testament, you can go into the New Testament, and individuals who are faithful followers of God were always being exhorted, be strong individuals. But here's what I find. I find that in my Christian life there are many times when strength seems to elude me. I know I need it. If I'm going to do what I need to do to be faithful to God, and yet for some reason, strength sometimes just isn't there. Here are a few of those times. In times of temptation, the Bible tells us that there is a tempter that is in this world. In fact, he is referred to as the tempter in Matthew 4, verse 3. And the tempter came to him and said, talking about Satan coming to Jesus. Folks, this tempter does everything that he can do in order to entice our lust. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is the end that Satan desires. I have desires, I have wants, I have longings. And Satan knows what those are, and he tosses the bait out there, doesn't he? And he wants me to transgress the will of God. It is my obligation, it is my duty to resist him with every fiber of my being. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. Peter says, whom resist steadfastly in the faith? 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. You see, I have the responsibility of standing up against every temptation that Satan throws my way, but sadly, there are times when I yield to temptation. And folks, what I stand in need of in those times of temptation is strength from God. But secondly, sometimes I need strength in order to persist in my Christian life. The Bible over and over tells us you've got to keep going. You can't quit. You can't stop. You've got to continually be moving forward. Don't sit down. Just keep pressing on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul writes in Hebrews 3, 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, listen to him, firm unto the end. The Bible never tells us that it's okay just to quit for a while and sit on the sidelines. And yet, sometimes it's hard to have the right motivations, isn't it? And sometimes it's very difficult to feel like we have any enthusiasm, or at least there's not great enthusiasm sometimes in the things that we do. Oh yes, we kind of mope along. We go through the motions, we do what's expected, and yet it's not with great enthusiasm and motivation that we do them. And there's a lot of things that cause those difficulties when we feel that others aren't really interested in spiritual things. Folks, one of the most discouraging things for a preacher, one of the most discouraging things for an eldership, one of the most discouraging things for faithful brethren is other brethren not to be faithful. That's discouraging. We wonder why. But also, church problems can cause individuals to not be motivated and enthusiastic in their service. In fact, church problems oftentimes can cause individuals just to almost stop completely. They may do just enough to feel as though that their conscience has been soothed, they've served their God, but there's no real enjoyment in their Christian life. Sometimes, when our efforts are not successful, we grow weary, don't we? We do this and we do that. We spend this amount of money. We work hard in this area. We work hard in another area. And yet, there's just no success. There's no benefit. There's no fruit that is forthcoming. And we stop and oftentimes we ask why. And then we might say something like this, what's the use? And sometimes we need strength to persist when it feels as though maybe what we do is not really appreciated by other individuals. We work hard, we toil, we're down in the trenches, We put in long hours. We do things that other individuals have no clue that are ever done. And yet, there's just no thanksgiving whatsoever for that. And it's hard to persist, isn't it? And yet, that's what God wants us to do, to keep going forward. And in those times, I need strength. How about this one? I oftentimes need strength in order to do the things that are difficult. And guys, if we think that Christianity is an easy religion, then we have fooled ourselves. We haven't examined the life of Jesus. We haven't examined the life of the Apostle Paul. Christianity was never intended to be simple. Oh yes, becoming a Christian is simple. Understanding God's will is simple. But sometimes doing the things that God wants us to do are not simple things. Do individuals honestly think that it is easy to rebuke the sinner? Folks, that is one of the worst jobs that you could ever put on your shoulders, to rebuke the sinner. And yet Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's not easy to try to go and to restore those individuals who are erring, individuals who are in sin, individuals who are no longer interested, individuals who have all kinds of reasons and excuses as to why they don't attend, individuals who now have become critical instead of forgiving. It's not easy to bring those individuals back and confront them and tell them that they need to be restored to the Lord. And yet that's what we must do, isn't it? Paul tells us who are spiritual to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted, Galatians 6:2. Folks, it's not easy to reach out to those that are lost. Brother Mosier had a sermon during our gospel meeting, and 20 individuals of this congregation came forward. Probably every one of us could have. Here's my question: what have you done since then? Everyone who came forward, what have you done since then in the area of evangelism? You came forward, you repented, you confessed that you haven't done what you need to do. What have you done since that night that has changed? You see, there's a lot of individuals who will say something like this: I haven't done a whole lot. I haven't radically altered my life. I'm not out there talking to individuals. And folks, the reason for that is it's hard. It's not easy. It's a difficult command. Another one: to resist hating the enemy, isn't it? Jesus said, love thine enemies, Matthew 5:44. Folks, how do you do that? He uses words like bless, pray for, do good to. To who? To your enemy. Those are the words Jesus uses. And guess what we like to do? We like to ridicule, and we like to put down, and we like to condemn, and we like to fight against the enemy. And it's hard, isn't it, to love the enemy? And how about this one? To rejoice in sufferings. Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is their reward in heaven. In verse 12 of that same chapter, Matthew chapter 5, he says this: rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If I were being beaten, if I were in stocks, if I were in prison, if I were facing execution, folks, could I really, really rejoice in that pain and anguish? You see, I would need strength, and a great deal of strength in order to do that. How about this next one? I need strength in order to uphold other individuals. You see, you and I don't live on an island. And guess what? Life is not all about me. Every one of us needs to stop and maybe just stand up and just take a look around us in this auditorium. If you're a member of this congregation, guess what? You have the burden of every member of this congregation on your shoulders. It's not about you solely. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 15, verse 1. He says, that those that are strong ought to embear the infirmities of the weak and not to what? Please ourselves. You see, it's not all about me. I've got an obligation to go to those that are hurting. I've got an obligation to go to those that are in sin. I've got an obligation to go to those that need me. And guess what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to do everything I can do to lift those individuals up. And guess what? That requires strength. Now, the reason it's so hard is because some people require what I refer to as long-haul care. You know, it's easy to go to somebody one time, run over there and throw a pan of food in the door and walk off. That's easy, folks. You know that? And I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying that's easy. Cook for that person for a year. Go stay with that individual one night a week for a year, 2 years. Go visit that individual on a regular basis in order to give that individual encouragement. You see, there are some individuals who need help over a long haul. And that's not easy. I mean, I've got problems. I've got difficulties. I've got struggles. I need somebody to hold me up sometime. Much less take care of everybody else. Are you kidding me? And folks, sometimes these individuals that we're talking about, they have some pretty heavy difficulties, you know that? Sin, finances, discouragement, health, sickness, whatever it might be. And sometimes those burdens weigh heavy upon those individuals. And it's up to us to go and grab that individual and push him up and make that individual feel better, to elevate that individual. And sometimes, guess what? I don't feel like that. I don't want to do that. And I need the strength to be able to do it. How about this one? Guys, I need strength to love God as I ought to love Him. Jesus set the standard high in Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Folks, all is the key word, isn't it? Not part. Not just a little bit. Not just a smidgen. Not the leftovers. Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your being. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to love me with all. That's not easy to do, is it? You see, sometimes my love grows weak. We sing a song, usually for a Lord's Supper song, and it begins like this. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek. You see, sometimes our love grows weak, folks. There's times when I have to make a decision. Am I going to love God or am I going to love myself? And sometimes I would just rather love myself a little bit more than I would God. Ever done that? Sometimes there's other things that get in the way. And I'd rather love those other things than I had to love my God. Folks, when I get down to that point, when my love is weak, when I love self, when I love other things more than God, guess what I need? I need strength, don't I? I need the strength to do what Jesus told me to do. I want you to love me with all your strength, He says. So the next question is what? Where is strength found? And fortunately, guess what? There are many avenues whereby you and I can be supplied with the strength that we need for daily living. And folks, notice I said daily living. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. And guess what? What's important is that I live for Christ today. Give me the strength that I need today to live the Christian life. So where do I get that strength? Well, number one, I have an almighty God on my side. The Bible says in Genesis 17, verse 1, "And the Lord said to Abram, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Wow. You see, folks, when you and I obeyed the gospel of Christ, we entered into a covenant relationship with the Almighty God. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will write my laws in their heart and put them in their mind. And, listen to him, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This little boy, he used to go to school on a regular basis. And every day at school, he got bullied by one boy at school. Until he made friends with the biggest boy on the football team. Now what? Everywhere he went, guess what? His big friend was right beside him. No more bully. Where did bully go? You see, he now had the strongest, biggest guy in the school protecting him, watching him, overseeing him, and now there was no more bullying, folks. Here was an individual who didn't have strength within himself, but because he had this huge friend, this mighty friend, guess what? He was now stronger than the bully. I've got God in my corner, and He is the Almighty God. I may be weak, I may be frail, but guess what? My God is not, and my God can strengthen me and stand before anything that I need to stand before. But not only do I have God, I also have Christ on my side as well. What was it that Paul said? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see where Paul got his strength from? He got his strength from his Savior. He got his strength from his friend. He got his strength from the second member of the Godhead. And he says, there is not anything that I cannot overcome. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that He's made us a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Folks, it doesn't matter. I have the second member of the Godhead in my corner as well. I don't have one being. I've got two beings fighting on my behalf. But there's strength to be found also in the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit has empowered this book with great power, has He not? Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword." The psalmist on one occasion made this statement, and I find it interesting. "My soul cleaveth to the dust." Sounds like a rough position, isn't it? I don't know about you. I don't like laying in the dust very much. Folks, when you're down in the dust, guess what? You're getting beat to high heavens, aren't you? You're not the winner. You're not the victor. You're down in the dust struggling. "My soul cleaveth to the dust." And then he says this, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Wow. He knew where his strength came from. My strength comes from the precious word of the living God. If I will get in that word, and if I will study it and read it, and if I will make application of it in my life, it is the word of God that can strengthen me. Folks, the strength comes from obeying the commandments, from embracing the promises, and from believing every truth that is set forth in God's Word. There is power in that. And we need that in our lives, don't we? Fourthly, where is my strength found? My strength comes from prayer. I find it interesting that we have this Almighty God in heaven, our God, because we're in a covenant relationship with Him. And guess what He says? Speak to me. Talk to me. Let your requests be made known to me. Isn't that what Paul said to do in Philippians 4:6? Be careful for nothing. You see, we're always anxious. We're always worried. We're always struggling about things. Quit doing that, he says. But rather do this, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Folks, what kind of things can you pray for? Watch this. Can you pray for temptations to be removed? Absolutely, you can pray for that. Isn't that what Jesus said that we ought to pray for? Lead me not into what? Temptation. That comes from the model prayer. If I'm struggling with temptation, Father, don't lead me down that path. And guess what? He can do that, can He? What if I've got enemies that are standing against me, enemies that are threatening me? Folks, guess what I can do? I can get on my knees and I can make a request unto God. God, deliver me from my enemies. Can He do that? Sure He can. There's obstacles in my life that I have absolutely no way of knowing how they're going to be overcome. Where am I going to get the money? How am I going to deal with this relationship? What am I going to do at this job? I have no clue sometimes. And yet, guess what? Folks, God can remove every obstacle and every barrier that stands before me. And sometimes all I need is just a good dose of wisdom in my difficult situations. You know what? Old Vic's not that smart most of the time. And yet God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Here's what we need to remember, folks. At the throne of God, there is help. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is not a God who wants us to struggle and hurt. He is a God who wants to relieve us of the difficulties and problems in our lives. And all He says is, come to me and ask. Have you ever had a child that's going through a lot of difficulties? They haven't told you anything about it. They've gone through it a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. And finally, you as the parent find out. And what do you say? Why didn't you say something? I could have given you $100. I could have given you $500. I could have taken the kids. Whatever you need, I could have helped. But you didn't what? You didn't ask. Folks, that's the way God is. Come to me. Ask. And I can do wonderful things on your behalf. There's strength there. Folks, here's another one. Strength comes from others, doesn't it? Strength comes from other individuals, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, iron sharpens iron. So a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Folks, the reason that we have one another is to make one another better. The reason we have one another is to make one another strong. The reason we have one another is so that when I grow weak and you're not, you can support me. When you grow weak and I'm not, I can support you. That's why we're here as a congregation of the Lord's people. I could go into lengthy stories, could I not, about individuals who've been supported by their friends and by their brothers in Christ. Oh, David was fleeing from Saul in the wilderness, and the Bible says that Jonathan went unto him in the woods and strengthened his hand. Wow. Thank God. Saul, early in his conversion, had a man by the name of Barnabas who was willing to stand before him and vouch for him, didn't he? Took him to the elders and told him, this man's okay. Believed in him. even sought him out, brought him back to Antioch, and helped him to become one of the teachers of that congregation. Folks, we need individuals to support us. How do you do that? Sometimes it's just your presence, you know that? See, I just love, I may not say a whole lot to you at a worship service. Sometimes you run out the back door so you don't have to talk to the preacher. I get that. But guess what? Up here, I sees you. And just to know you were here, I go, wow. You know that? Just your presence is such an encouragement. Sometimes it's our words. Sometimes it's the prayers of another person. What was it that Jesus told Peter? I have prayed for you. Man, I've prayed for you, Peter. See, those are unbelievable comments made by others. I've had my brethren help me financially from time to time in the course of preaching. I was let go from a congregation. They paid me for 30 days. I didn't have any money after that. I wrote some of my preacher friends. They went to their elders, and their elders wrote me checks for about 6 weeks of pay. Got me through, folks. I remember that. I'll never forget it. I don't hesitate to sit down and cut a check to a friend if he's in need. Not anymore, I don't. I've been helped. I ought to be able to help. And then there's just the physical strength of others. I've moved enough to know that you need some physical strength of others sometimes. You know that? You need the talents and abilities that other individuals have in order to make things happen. We can't do it all on our own. And fortunately, God's given us wonderful brethren to come to our aid and support us and make us strong. Sources of strength: God, Christ, the Word, prayer, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. Unbelievable resources, folks, we have at our disposal if we'll use them. But I want to talk about one more thing. It's very simply strength and weakness. A couple of points I want to make. God sometimes allows us to live in weakness. Ain't that a hoot? I pray for strength and there's no strength. I desire others to come to my aid and there's no others coming to my aid. And there I am. I'm just in all of my weakness. You see, He does that so that His strength can shine through. We have a wonderful example, don't we? In an individual by the name of Paul. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that he had a thorn in the flesh. And folks, I don't know exactly what it is. I think there's indications in Scripture that hint to what it is. But I don't know for certain. But it was something that bothered Paul deeply, didn't it? And he felt as though it weakened his ministry. He felt as though it was a problem. And so what does Paul do? Paul says that I prayed that it might be removed, not once, not twice, three times. Folks, remember, one of the sources of strength is what? Prayer. That's where Paul went. I need strength. I need this thing removed from me. And you know what God said? God said, And the Lord said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, that's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Did you hear what God said? My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. Now, Paul has to react to that, doesn't he? Here Paul is told, nope, sorry. Not going to answer this prayer positively for you. You're going to keep that thorn in the flesh. It's going to continue to plague you. Because it's in your weakness that I can be strong. So how does Paul react to that? Well, folks, in the very next verses, he talks about how he reacts to that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities? that the power of Christ may rest in me. Wow. Unbelievable, isn't it? I will therefore take pleasure in reproaches, in infirmities, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For when I am weak, then He is strong. Paul says, even when I'm weak, how am I going to react to that? He said, I'm going to be glad and I'm going to rejoice. So God's power can shine through me. Folks, I don't always know how God's going to do that. You know that? I just have to trust that He will, don't I? We've set an interesting concept before us, haven't we? We need strength. We need to be strong, don't we? And so therefore, I need to do everything I possibly can in order to strengthen myself. And yet, at the same time, there are times when I'm going to remain weak. So God's strength can manifest itself through me. Folks, here's the key. If you're going to live victoriously, then we must live in God's strength, regardless of where it comes from. God is the source of all of our strength. My friend, this morning, if you are outside of Jesus Christ, God is not on your side. You cannot leave this building and you cannot say, God is my God. God is only a God to those who are in a covenant relationship with Him. Won't you obey the gospel and do that this morning? If you believe in His Son as the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess the sweet name of Jesus, you can be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I find it interesting in Acts chapter 2, Peter's talking to a group of individuals who thought they were in a covenant relationship with God. They were Jews, weren't they? And they were not. When they found out they weren't, they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? And He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. That's what you need to do this morning if you're lost. Dear Christian, what about you? Is your life a source of strength, power, might, supplied to you by the Almighty God? Or maybe you're standing in need of something, perhaps even God's forgiveness. You need to respond to the invitation once you come as we stand and sing.